All right, Wildlings, you wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest podcast in Louisville, Kentucky, Sean versus Wild. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio, and it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. So glad you could log into America Sean Line and download this show right off the Wildernet. Yeah, check out all that hyperbole, hitting you in the face with it bright and early this Tuesday morning. I'm in a good mood. I hope you're in a good mood. I hope you're having a great week. I'm having a great week. I'm having a great day, especially because today I'm sitting down and talking with hot new band out of Los Angeles. I'm talking to Rivals. This band has been making some serious moves, making moves, if you will. We toured with them about a year and a half ago on the last Uh-Huh Baby Yeah tour, and now in the meantime, they've kept their nose to the grindstone, worked hard, and made the dream happen. Okay, so they just signed to Smart Punk. They've just got a brand new single that came out on the 18th for a song called Over It, which we'll be checking out. A lot of great stuff. They've already had a couple singles released already. Damned Soul is their new album that comes out next month. All the deets right here on the show, but you're definitely going to want to check them out. Again, one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is just being able to have a platform where I'm showcasing hot new music. So, yeah, I get bored listening to the same stuff over and over, and I bet you do too. So check out Rivals here on the show today. So, yeah, and I'm excited too. I have a lot of listeners in the Los Angeles area. It seems like my show last week has done very well, the one I did with Kevin Lyman. So nice to follow it up here for some more content for my LA fans here. Also, too, just a little news item. I want to start putting news items here right at the beginning of the podcast. So if you are in LA, my good friend Sim Williams, who will be on the podcast here in just a couple weeks, shot me some information, and he was like, "Hey, man, let your listeners know that I will be playing some dates here." So January 24th, you can check out Sim Williams at Canoga Park. In Canoga Park at a venue called Scotland Yard. And then on the 25th, you can check him out in West Hollywood at a venue called Universal Bar and Grill. Sim's a great dude. You'll catch a podcast with him here in just a couple weeks. A lot of cool information, a lot of cool stuff going on lately here in the music business. So I've got a lot of great interviews lined up. And if you're interested, always feel free to reach out to me, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. Let me know your news. Let me know what your band's up to. And we'll even get you on the show. We'll see what we can do here, guys. I love it. So love the sense of community here. So big thank you to everybody that checked out last week's episode, everybody that's checked out this week's episode. Those could not have happened without my awesome sponsors. I'm talking about my sponsor at Audible. With Audible, it's an Amazon company. You guys know Audible. Get your audiobook fix in. I've been killing it with the audiobooks lately. I finished Chris Jericho's book. I finished an awesome book called Under the Big Black Sun by John Doe. You know him as the bass player of the LA punk band X. That was awesome because it's just all about the punk rock scene in LA from the mid-70s to the early 80s and narrated and written by the people that were there. So you have John Doe narrating his chapters, Jane Wheedlin from the Go-Go's, you got Henry Rollins, all kinds of great performers there doing their thing, telling their story as they saw it then. So great, great book. Check that out. And I'm reading, currently listening to, I should say, The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero. Love The Room, love The Disaster Artist. I figure I got to get more, got to get my fix in. So I was checking that one out. I would highly recommend that one as well. And hit me up. If you have Audible, you know, hit me up. I'll send it to you for free. That's what's so cool. You can just send books if you like them to Audible listeners. So, yeah, make sure you go to audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild and check out books for yourself. You know what I'm saying? audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. audibletrial.com/SEANVSWILD. You get a free month of Audible just by listening to my show. How tight is that? Just simply go there, audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. Sign up for your free 30 days. Grab you a free audiobook. They have over 180,000 books to choose from. Let me know. I'll send you the books that I like too. You send me the books that you like. It's awesome. Yeah, and you can cancel at any time. No long-term commitment. And if you do cancel, you still get to keep the books. And what's cool is it still helps me out too. They give you a little... give me a little kickback here monetarily to help keep the lights on here at the Smithsonian. So, yeah, it's a win-win scenario. Also, my sponsor at AudiophileInc.com, talking about keeping the lights on, he's been printing some of the awesomest merch ever for me. I'm talking about Shane at Audiophile Inc. And he can do the same for you, man. If you got a band, if you got a podcast, if you've got a business, something, an idea, something that you want to have printed on a shirt or a sweatshirt or whatever article of clothing, Shane's got you taken care of. Just go to audiophileinc.com and place your order right now. And he'll ship to all 50 nifty United States. So no matter where you are in the country, you're going to get the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. So audiophileinc.com. Tell him the Wild Man sent you. You know what's up? He knows what's up. So, yeah. Also, big thanks to Joe Brock. He boops the dials each and every week. You guys know Joe Brock. He's the dial booper. And I can't do the show without him. He's main ingredient. It's real Hollywood movie. Yeah, he's the main ingredient here at the Sean vs. Wild podcast. So, Joe, thank you so much. And thank you guys very much for listening. I say it at the beginning and end of every episode. But if you like what you hear, please share it. Please like it. Please tell a friend about the podcast. We're growing word of mouth here. So I'm hoping 2018, it's on track to be way more awesome than 2017. 2017 was awesome. So that's high praise right there. That's a big news article right there. But yeah, so 2018 on track for being even more awesome than 2017. Let's make it happen. And I can't do it without you. So if you like what you hear, tell a friend. Like, share, subscribe. If you know a band that you like, or you're in a band, or what have you, you got a news article, hit me up, SeanVsWild@gmail.com. I've talked to a whole bunch, guys. It's time to get down to my conversation with Rivals. So make sure you pop that 8-track into your home stereo system, crank up the knob, and let's get wild. Yeah, I just wanted to tell everybody that I just came from a special screening of The Room. I've tried 3 times to start the podcast, and I figured this is just the best way. Let's cut all the BS. Guys, the point of the intro is simply, I just went and saw a special screening of Tommy Wiseau's The Room, and my man Josh Alves has totally seen it. Mickett, you've let me down.
Oh, I've totally seen it. It's great.
Yeah. Have you seen it in the theater? It's quite the experience. People were throwing spoons. People were screaming at the screen.
I've heard about the spoons thing.
Yeah. You know what? I wish that I did see it in a movie theater, because I feel like that's the sort of film that definitely needs crowd interaction. Kind of like how, what's another film that does that? Like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. I feel like because like some of those scenes in The Room are so iconic, that you just kind of need crowd participation. And especially with, like, I don't know, like when he enters the room, like the whole Highmark thing.
Hi, Denny.
Yeah. And like the whole stupid thing with, like, where they go to the coffee shop. I hope I'm not ruining it for everyone right now.
Dude, spoiler
alert. But like when they go to the coffee shop and everyone fucking orders cheesecake for no goddamn reason.
I'll have cheesecake and bottled water.
Yeah, like who the fuck orders cheesecake in a bottle of water? Let's be honest.
What's great is
no one.
He ordered a hot chocolate, and they're like, "We have some cheesecake back there. Would you like some?" And he's just like, "Oh yeah. No, thank you." He's like, "Are you sure?" Whatever they,
yeah.
That coffee shop must have had a real heavy cheesecake. Must have been their heavy hitter on the menu, wherever that was.
I mean, cheesecake is delicious. Didn't you actually eat an entire cheesecake while on tour?
I have eaten multiple entire cheesecakes.
Yeah, man, who doesn't like the Cheesecake Factory? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things on the menu, but cheesecake's delicious.
That's my place. That's that me and Mickett have been on dates there. Dates, not dates. Friendship dates.
Band-aids?
Band-aids. Mini band-aids. Mini band-aids.
Yeah, well, if you're going to take somebody, you know, if you're at... If
might
you're,
as well take someone I like.
Yeah, might as well go to the Cheesecake Factory. Dude, you should open up a side restaurant just called the Cheese Steak Factory and see how many people walk in confused. Oh, like,
that actually sounds great.
Last time we were in Philly, the cheesesteaks were so good.
See, I didn't like the
my
word.
We these two messed up and got not the cheesesteak that you're supposed to get.
It's because we tried to eat healthy.
I think that was the biggest mistake. Is we went into it trying to like not eat like garbage cans, eating a Philly cheesesteak. So that was our first mistake. I ended up putting a bunch of mayo on it.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, that's the staple of all health. All diets begin and end with mayo, I'm sure.
Well, to be fair, it was really dry.
Yeah, it was.
Where did you go?
That famous place that everyone always goes to.
There's Pat's and then there's Geno's, and they're right next door to each other, and both are super famous. I think Pat's is the one where it's...
I think it was Geno's.
This one had, like, a line out the door and down the street.
Is it the one that had like autographed photos or like photos of like, here's
Sylvester Stallone? Yeah, and there was like an upstairs area.
Yeah. Both of them were okay, Pat's and Gino's, but there was another place I went to randomly and it was better. And it was some other person's name as well. So
it was another
first person's name as well.
Speaking of cheese, so me and Josh have this bet, right? Go ahead, Josh.
So the bet is for this next tour is that I have to eat, it's $20, right?
That's right.
$20, but I win $20 if essentially I eat only grilled cheese sandwiches for every meal. And,
for how long?
For a week straight, for 7 days straight. So I have to eat at least 3 meals a day consistently, cheese and bread and all the contents that would be included in creating a grilled cheese sandwich, so like butter and stuff like that. Yeah. Oil, whatever. But,
who the fuck uses oil?
I have to eat that. Have you never used olive oil?
I use butter like a goddamn human.
you do both. You sprinkle you drizzle the olive oil on it afterwards.
What kind of grilled cheese are you goddamn?
Yeah, you ever get real fancy? You get real fancy and you're like, I'm going to put two different types of cheeses on this thing.
Oh,
look at me.
Heck yeah. Are you kidding? I'm going to use sourdough.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
I'm going to use some of that rye bread. You know, it's going to be great. So that's
fucking love rye bread.
So that's the goal, is that I have to eat for $20 only. I get to just dive right into grilled cheese heaven for 7 days straight.
He can do it. I'm convinced that he cannot.
I feel like you might get tired of it. I feel like on principle you can do it, but also I feel like when it's just cheese you're ingesting, you're gonna be backed up. So I would say maybe on day eight get yourself some yogurt.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, day eight, that's definitely where the cleanse. The cleanse is going to come in. But no, the goal was that I was a little fearful that I was going to get sick, you know? So we decided that I was allowed to have 8 ounces of green juice a day along with vitamins, and then I would be okay.
Yeah, that's a cure-all, I've heard.
But because I thought about it, I actually ingest a lot of cheese on the daily.
I do too. Okay. I eat a lot. I had cheese for breakfast. That's all I had.
Cheese for breakfast?
I had like, it was like salami cheese thingy.
Oh, I had one of those for lunch.
Yes.
Super good.
Well, guys,
yeah, that's the goal.
Dude, this is, I'm going to wish you the best of luck on this goal. I think you can do it, Josh. This is our first time we've ever met, you and I. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do it, man. From one drummer to another, I've got faith in you.
I mean, I can eat, as long as I can eat grilled cheese while I'm playing. Or in between songs.
Okay,
I'm
only
really...
if I'm allowed to sit there and shove it down your throat. As you're fucking...
Deal. You throw up,
you lose. I mean,
that was never a thing.
To be fair, because there had to be a losing point. You can't throw up.
I will feed you while you play, but your shirt has to be off, and you have to have a double chin the entire time.
Well, with all the grilled cheeses, the double chin will probably come naturally.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, think of it though, how many people eat pizza every day. So pizza is essentially grilled cheese with like a little
tomato sauce
is what makes it great.
Here we go, can I actually add slices of tomato to my grilled cheese?
Remember, grilled cheese is grilled cheese. As soon as you start adding things, it makes it a sandwich.
Yeah, he's right. I don't think you can do that. That's just blasphemy.
Yeah.
But I can use
Who
different
the fuck
types
puts tomato?
Of cheese.
I can't hear
Have you not had that before? It's delicious.
I mean, one, tomatoes are the most disgusting
That's not true.
Thing
That's
to hit out, the market.
That is not true. Yeah, tomatoes are delicious.
I like onions raw.
Onions are delicious.
Onions are my favorite vegetable. Onions is like the natural like zing. Like if you want something like, man, this thing is whatever, this sandwich I'm eating is like real lame. Oh, put a little onion piece in it and you're like, oh man, this has got some
zing. Oh shit, this no longer is gross.
Wait, are onions fruits or vegetables?
They're vegetables.
They are vegetables.
They don't have seeds.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Now, tomato is, while I don't mind the taste of a tomato, I find like tomato on a sandwich super annoying because it just immediately makes your bread soggy and your sandwich falls apart.
Not if it's a good tomato.
Well, I've yet to have a good tomato then. But yeah, guys, this isn't just like
dining out with Rivals and Sean. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast. Let me reel it back in here, guys. We're having too much fun. This is the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, and I am here with Rivals, my good friends, based out of Los Angeles. I got Kaylee Wolf, Josh Alves, and Mickett Woodle here with me. Kaylee the singer, Mickett guitarist, Josh drummer. So guys, I'm glad that you all packed into the vehicle. Are you in the van? Are you just chilling in the car? Just all we're all just chatting together?
We're actually sitting in Mickett's car outside of Seb's work while he works.
He works at a pizza spot.
He's just watching you guys do the interview crying.
No, I think he's on a delivery right now.
I hope he can join us at some point for the conversation.
He might pop in, we'll see.
Well, he's like the spice. He's like the natural. He's like the onion of Rivals, you know. He just comes in, just really.
I don't know about that.
Churches up the sandwich.
I think Mickett.
All right, there's going to be a
he's
fight.
He's like a green pepper.
So you're all back in it. You're all back together in L.A.?
Ketchup is disgusting.
You guys all back together in L.A.?
Yeah, we are. I just flew in yesterday.
Yeah, I knew that you were in Nashville, and I know that we tried to get some scheduling done yesterday, and I was like, man, that's gonna be a long flight to come straight in and start chatting. So
it was rough. I checked into my flight at like 24 hours before because I fly Southwest, and I was like, oh, cool, I got B3. Apparently, everybody decided to pay for the additional shipping. I mean, shipping for the additional. Like, you get to get on earlier than everyone else, so I ended up sitting in the middle anyways, and like. I walked on the plane and like the first row had the middle spot was empty. And I was like, ah, fuck it. At least I'll get off the plane sooner. But little do I know, if you sit in the front row, you can't have a laptop because they make you put all your shit in the upstore bins. So I just sat there on my phone and like, it was so boring. It was the worst flight of my life.
It was almost like you
four and a half hours.
It was like flying, but in the 90s.
Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't even have a Game Boy.
I took a time machine back home. It was abysmal.
It was disgusting.
Well, I'm glad you made it in one piece. And in preparation for this podcast interview, I've been listening for the past 48 hours to my Los Angeles playlist. So I have a specific playlist for when I go to LA. And Los Angeles just has a certain vibe for me. Like, I'm always thinking, okay, it's sunny. There's palm trees. You're driving. You don't have a top on your car. You know what I'm saying? And you're wearing sunglasses. Yeah. So I got to be listening to my playlist, which consists of basically what you would think would be on, like, say, the Pretty Woman soundtrack or something like that. It's just pop music from 1989 to 1991, you know.
Lots of Devo.
Exactly. I was listening to Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle today, and I was like, man, this is a tight jam.
Wait, and it has the intro to X-Men, right? X-Men the cartoon?
Does it?
It should.
Are you talking about, does my playlist have it? Yeah, it should. This is the most LA thing I've ever heard.
The Los Angeles playlist has to have the intro music to X-Men the cartoon.
Well, it will now.
Okay. Come on, Sean.
That's how it will start.
Yeah, no, that's the first song on it. Yeah,
there's a new number one on the playlist, guys.
What's that?
Yeah, the X-Men theme song is number one now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then number two is King of Wishful Thinking by Go West, and number three is Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle. Nailed it.
That, you know, those all make sense together. Actually, that's perfect.
Yeah, we've knocked it out of the park, guys. 2018, new year, new us, new playlist. Number one. Nailed it. So how have you guys been? For listeners out there, the guys and gals in Rivals, minus Josh, who I just met today, as you may have heard, good friends of mine, and we met a couple years ago on tour, and we toured together, toured the United States on a tour that was, boy, was that filled with ups and as well as downs and quite a bit of vehicular drama.
Yeah. We got trapped in Virginia for a week and after our transmission blew.
Yeah.
And before that, our band got trapped in Wyoming for a few days.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
After our drive shaft flew out of the van.
Isn't that a band?
Drive shaft? That's at the drive-in.
Wait, no. Drive shaft. That's Lost.
Yeah, that's Charlie's band in Lost. You
Charlie's
all
band
everybody.
Lost drive shaft. Come on, everybody.
You got it. Nailed it.
Come on. I fucking loved Lost. Sorry.
I did too. Love it as well. Guys, I'm not going to spoil it for you, and neither is Kaylee. We're not going to allow that. But if you haven't watched Lost, you have two people who approve it right here on this podcast. Stop being a dork. Get on Netflix. Watch it.
Watch and be confused for 7 seasons, and by the end, still be totally confused.
Wasn't it?
It was definitely a kept you on your seat the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, everybody's genies in the end.
Exactly.
Genie?
Dude, I'm not going to spoil it, but here's how it ends. It just turns out it's Bob Newhart, and he wakes up in bed, and he's like, oh, it's all been a dream. And then that was it.
And then, I'm going to paint it.
And then he's in a snow
globe. It was a painted guy, Bob something.
They're in a snow globe the entire time in an autistic kid's dream.
That's so depressing.
That was actually the ending of a show called Saint Elsewhere.
Never heard of him.
Really?
Yes. There was an autistic kid who had a snow globe, and it turned out that they were all characters in his mind that he made up in his snow globe.
Oh, this was like in the 90s, right?
Yeah, close. It was actually in the 70s.
Sounds familiar.
Was this
a movie?
Oh, close. No, it was the 70s.
It was definitely in a decade, so you're very close.
Was this a movie or a TV show?
TV show, Saint Elsewhere.
That's, I mean, that the concept isn't like, it sounds like something else I've seen. Maybe like a Twilight episode or something.
Twilight, the vampire movie episode?
Oh, not Twilight. I'm sorry. Twilight Zone, my bad.
Yeah. Dude, that Bella Swan, dude.
Yeah, Twilight Zone. Same
thing.
I just love that Eddie from Twiglet. He's just so crazy when he sparkles. you might be thinking
Josh,
of the movie
you're
Jacob's Ladder.
Laughing.
Jacob's Ladder is another movie where it's like a fever dream type scenario.
I don't think I want to watch that movie.
Why?
Well, spoiler alert, I spoiled the end. This should just be the spoiler.
Isn't that like
podcast.
A dick piercing?
What?
there's a dick piercing called the Jacob's Ladder, and essentially it's just a bunch of bars from the top to the bottom of your penis.
Man, whoever has that seems like maybe the coolest kid on the block.
My guess is his name is Jacob.
What? His name
is Smart. The doctor just looks down and is like, oh, you must be Jacob. Yeah, maybe.
Is it irony if his name is Jacob?
Well, and if he has a lot of like metal piercings, is it irony?
Ah.
No,
God, these puns are.
Yeah, the joke
me.
Fell super flat. Whatever. You know what? Moving right along, guys. When it comes to body piercing, we're just going to move right along. So
be responsible.
Yes. We toured the United States together on a tour that was equal parts fun and equal parts insanity. You know, like you were saying, you guys broke down in Virginia. We broke down in Wyoming. We broke down in New Mexico before we even got to the first date of the show.
I remember that.
But yeah, and it was great. And I was just thinking the other day about our lovely weekend retreat in Lake Shasta in California there, in El NorCal.
Oh, yeah. I remember we went swimming.
Yeah, there were definitely some moments there.
Poison Ivy?
Oh, yeah.
Grilling
Poison
out.
Ivy?
Yeah, remember?
When did you guys find Poison Ivy?
I didn't get it, but certain members of the band got Poison Ivy. Blake. DP Conroe got it. Seb got it.
Yeah, getting K-Day get it too?
Wait, was this in the forest?
No.
Or was this when we were at the actual
forest?
The Great Forest. Event.
The forest with all the rocks to get down because California's water line is so low.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we had to walk to that store, and I had to get you a Take 5, and it was like the most expensive Take 5 of my life. But they had
to get you a Take 5.
I had to get you a Take 5, but per your request, like, hey, give me a Take 5. I'm like, okay, I could probably spare that. And
I don't think I'm like, I don't have a very brilliant memory of in general, but I don't remember ever eating a Take 5 in my life.
Well, you wanted the best, you got the best. Take 5 coming
Thanks,
at you.
Sean, you always had my back.
It was
actually Sean. Do you remember getting me what is it? A raspberry. What is it called? It's a little Hostess thing.
Oh, yes. The Zinger.
Zinger. That's what it's called. Okay. So since then, I have done my best to try every Zinger that I have seen, like every different type of Zinger. And they're actually fairly good. Touché, sir.
I don't even know why we had even mentioned Zingers, but whenever you drove us from Denver to Wyoming to go to our wrecked van that was getting worked on. I remember I was like, I don't have a lot to give you guys, but I think I bought you guys some zingers and some chips and stuff.
And, I do remember that.
But yeah. I remember you saying you hadn't had one, and for some reason I was appalled by that briefly. And then I was like, well, let me rectify this pretty damn quick. And I'm glad that you now have
you do that for me on this tour?
Appreciation for zingers.
Yeah, I your face when I told you I hadn't had it, it was like watching the Ghostbusters see Slimer for the first time. Like it was like
it was like Dan Aykroyd getting a ghostly blowj. That was my face. But yeah, well, I was thinking about when we were up at Lake Shasta, simply because I was watching a little documentary about unsolved mysteries and aliens and stuff, and they were just talking about the sheer amount of alien phenomena that was going on in this one concentrated area. And I'm like, oh, well, what area is this? And they're like, Lake Shasta. And I was like, holy shit, I was there. We could have been abducted.
It's surprising that Seb has not brought that up at all, because Sebastian, our bass player, obviously, he's very into
conspiracy theories
and like aliens and stuff like that. And he'd be totally one to probably say some weird, crazy conspiracy theory right now about Lake Shasta.
Well, funny that you should mention that, which will lead me to this point, is I think right before we even packed up and went to Lake Shasta, we met up in a Walmart parking lot somewhere to snooze, and
we were abducted.
And then, well, Seb and I just stayed up, like we had the cot, outside, and we were just like sat on the cot on the curb at Walmart. And we randomly were just talking about like some conspiracy theories and alien stuff. And then like literally we went to bed when the sun came up. So we literally talked by ourselves for about 8 hours about conspiracy theories. And then we're like, oh, I guess we better go to bed now.
It sounds about right.
So, guys, I'm not saying it's Illuminati, but probably is. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Illuminasty.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking of Illuminati, man, your guys is I watch one of your videos, man. There's triangles everywhere. What kind of message are you purveying to me right now, brother? What are you beaming into my head?
Pre-order that record.
Yeah, pre-order. Yeah, it's actually if you play it backwards and at about 36% faster, you'll hear me say "Bye, damn soul." Wait, no, it would be higher. "Bye, damn soul."
Bye, damn soul.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean that's one way to definitely brainwash people into loving your music.
Hey, didn't Zeppelin do it?
Hey, man, if it's good enough for Zeppelin, it's good enough for me. Damn it, that's all I'm saying.
Was it Ozzy?
No, I heard it was Ozzy. Yeah, I heard it was.
Do you play it backwards?
Yeah,
and then it's like a Satan trying to open the gates of hell.
They claim Led Zeppelin basically gets the blame on that for Stairway to Heaven, that there's like some backwards messaging in Stairway to Heaven. Now, Ozzy Osbourne later in the 80s had a whole thing where they claimed he had backwards messaging telling people to kill themselves, and when some kids killed themselves, the parents like point the finger at Ozzy and Judas Priest and a few other bands like that. So
that was during the 80s thing, right, when they were trying to get the parental advisory sticker on there.
Yeah, old Tipper Gore went to bat for some of these people trying to get some things censored. So yes, that was them.
So about the CD.
about the CD. Yes.
Oh, the triangles. Wait, let me actually tell you about the triangles. So we filmed the whole thing on a green screen. Sorry, I'm eating orange chocolate. We filmed the whole thing on a green screen. We kind of gave it to the guy. We're like, just do whatever you want. Cool. Make it fucking dope, and that's what we got back.
Dude, what if it came back and it was just like Jaws or something in the background, or if it was just like
probably still would have released it.
You know what?
To be fair,
sounds like a real winner.
To be fair, he actually, when he was showing us his reel about the stuff he could do through like 3D graphics and digital media and stuff like that, he was showing us a video for a thrash metal band. And the whole music video was about different sins or whatever, right? And
I don't remember that.
You don't remember this? And like one, the video was like this thrash metal band. There was a guy watching the computer, watching a bunch of porn, and it was all 3D, like three-dimensional graphics.
Oh my god!
One scene during the music video, pretty much like jizz just shoots out at the audience or whoever's watching it, and then you're like, as it's like washes away and there's the band. It's fucking weird, but like
it was a weird music video.
He could have done literally whatever he wanted. So he could have like had Jaws on top of cats shooting laser beams out of their eyes while we're doing like a performance video, and it probably would have been dope as fuck.
Honestly, anything he gave us back would have probably been dope.
Except if it were just all like jizz, mostly. It's just a big cock.
So shout out to Brian Cox for
his last name is Cox.
Yeah, that's right. His last name is Cox. So shout out to Brian Cox for that dope ass fucking music video, Low.
Yeah, dude, very tight. Very, it looks awesome. So, and that's your music video for Low that I'm referring to, and we'll get it clear. We'll tell everybody what's up here in a bit, but let's just get back here to the timeline. So we toured together. That's how we know each other. Whatever. We've had adventures, misadventures, Lake Shasta, getting eaten by bugs in Michigan.
Destroyed.
Having an awesome time randomly in Idaho. Not getting paid in Portland.
Oh yeah, great.
This is going to be the best show of the whole tour, guys. And then you get there and we play like, you know, second and third and nobody's there, and like we didn't get paid either, and we're like, yep, you're right, that was the greatest show we've ever had.
The best show of the tour.
Hey, but I'm glad that you had an awesome birthday. But yeah,
that was someone's birthday.
It could have been. I think it was.
It definitely was.
And then yeah, so yeah, we went up and down the road together. That's how we know each other. Had a quite an adventurous tour. Now in the meantime and in between time, our band broke up. What did you guys do?
You know, it's okay, so we were talking about this, and almost every band we've toured with has broken up,
you know.
So you guys, Divides, Heroes to Heroes, like had to, they like,
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Who else have we toured with?
Well, don't blame it on yourselves, because like I was thinking about this too secretly the other day. I was like, you know, of the podcasts and stuff that I did so far, you know, all last year, like I'm like, man, there's a lot of bands that just, you know, aren't around, or like, you know, like I did the podcast with them and then like a couple months later they just decided that they didn't want to play music anymore. I'm like, maybe I'm jinxed. If you're jinxed and then I'm jinxed, maybe I won't have a podcast next year and you guys won't have a band. We'll just knock it right out of the park.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I wish
we've been known to be pretty resilient though.
That's true. Yes. Both our camps, very resilient. So I know we're gonna be kicking it. So next year, you know, we'll have a part two of this podcast just to let everybody know we're still kicking. We're still making it happen.
Yeah.
6 months from now,
round two.
Yeah. Every month we have to check in with each other just so we know.
You still good? Yeah, we're still good.
All right. Great. Great. Are you still making moves? Yeah, me too. You doing work? Yeah, great. All right. Talk to you next month. But yeah, so what have you guys been up to over the last year or so?
So, we finished our record and, honestly, we kind of just, we're getting everything ready for it. We were talking with Smart Punk and filming videos, and
we got signed.
And it's, you know, that shit takes time. So we spent most of the last year just prepping for this release. And then in August we did a little run, and then we did like the 6 weeks with Story Untold and Knockout Kid, and Rough Start was on the end of it. And then now we're releasing. Now we're going through all the motions of the oceans of the.
Yeah, that sounded awesome. Kind of thinking about that, we're going through the motions of the oceans. Sounds cool. But no, dude, I know. Yeah, I know exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about here. Well, let's tell the listeners. So, you know, what was the writing process like? What's this album? So you got a new album coming out. It's called Damned Soul. It comes out February 2nd. Guys, you can pre-order it right now at smartpunkshop.com, and awesome, especially if you're like if you like, you know, vinyl records and stuff like that. That's coming back big time. I enjoy it. There's some limited edition vinyl and some cool colored vinyl and stuff to choose from. A lot of cool packages, the CD, shirts, all kinds of stuff. Check it out and support your homies and rivals. So Damned Soul comes out February 2nd. What's the writing process? What was the writing process like? What are some of the themes of this new album?
The themes.
So, like, lyrically, a lot of the themes are, I've noticed a couple, like, reoccurring things is hopelessness, but also having hope. Never giving up.
Never gonna let you down. I genuinely love that song though.
Like, I do too.
So whenever, like, when people started getting Rickrolled, I remember the first time that happened, it came to me and I was like, wait, I'm not even mad. Like, I actually like this song. So
yeah, if you try to Rickroll me, you're just making a fool of yourself, because I will.
Yeah, like, I just get to listen to the.
I will enjoy it wholeheartedly. Like, matter of fact, it's on my LA playlist.
Yes. Nice.
But yeah, so I mean, so the themes, yeah, hopelessness, but also having hope, man. That's what it's all about. Just being in a band, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you hope,
it's so true,
that you're going to be able to pay your bills, and you hope that you're going to be able to make something of yourself, and you hope that you're going to be able to get to the next level. And a lot of times, there's a lot of people pointing the finger saying, "No, that's not going to happen." So you do kind of feel hopeless at times as well.
It's very true. Yeah, very true.
Nailed it.
So the writing process,
nailed it.
Hammer Dean.
To be completely honest, and I know how, and it's funny because I was actually explaining to this to somebody the other day, but the writing process is honestly me driving in my car and I hum something out to myself and I record it on voice memo on my phone.
So it's like beep, 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 beep.
It actually sounds like that. As ridiculous as it sounds. I go dum, 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 dum. Maybe not that progression, but and then I go home and I demo it out on Pro Tools, and then Kaylee does the same thing in her car, except not as silly sounding.
Yeah, because I actually, you know, I'm supposed to use my voice. But then, so pretty much I get a hold of it, I write when I can, and then we pretty much did that for like a lot of songs, and then we went in with John SB, and he kind of just like helped us pop everything up and make it like super cool. And then we went in with Aaron Edwards, who took those super poppy songs and kind of, we like grunged them and metaled them up a little bit to give it some like depth.
Right.
So it's been some, and then
so some of the hum num dum, and yeah, it's my newest demo.
And then we sent it over to Cody Stewart, who mixed and mastered it, and kind of like put all the little final diddly daddlies on it.
Put all that special doodads, you know what I'm saying, on it.
Special, I gotcha. Little dingle hoppers.
Yes.
You know what that is.
I do.
Yes. It's a fork-like instrument used for combing your hair, okay? Everybody knows what a dingle hopper is.
That's hilarious. I didn't even like...
Zing.
I've
hit
got
you.
Gadgets and gizmos of plenty.
Hitting you with
I've got
those.
Who's it's and what's it's galore.
Oh my god.
Thingamabobs? I've got 20.
I got like 30.
Yeah, but who cares? No big deal. I want more.
We're just gonna...
That'll be just the rest of the podcast. All right, guys. A medley of all your Disney favorites.
Another scene.
But you know, that's one thing I can say about your guys' band, touring with you guys. You're always on, which I felt like was a big thing with our band. We were on the opposite side of technology. We were on the wrong side of history when it comes to harnessing the new technology. But just as you're saying, like, you know, if you have an idea, you can hum it to yourself, record it on your phone, listen to it back later, pick up your guitar, plug in, run it through Pro Tools, make it sound like $1 million, put some music on there, and you're going to have a decent demo right there at your fingertips. You know, you can put in your drums and Superior Drummer and make it happen right there at your fingertips. You've nailed it.
They have programs now. Honestly, you can just do that all on your phone.
Yeah, even crazier. See, I'm Kaylee always called us the old men, and that's true. I mean, me being 31, 31 and all, but I am on a definite different side of history, I feel like, because, you know, back in the day, for me, it was like, if you wanted a demo, you had to go to a studio and record it or find someone that had a basement, you know.
Do you have an 8-track?
Yes. Press play on the boombox, and we'll stand about 30 feet away, and we're going to have a great little tune here. But yeah, that's awesome.
If you
awesome,
put a towel over the mic, it kind of gets it.
The fact that everyone in here is smiling is over the age of 30, and I'm not at all. It's amazing.
Yes, exactly. Well, now, yeah. But you guys at least aged better than I did as far as that goes. Next time I'm in LA, you guys just got to show me how to do all that stuff. But I'm a drummer, man, so I don't know how to. I don't need to know how to play an instrument. I'll just hit some drums and stuff.
Me either, so.
You know what I'm saying? It's whatevs. So, Yeah. Damn Soul, you got two releases so far. We already talked about the first music video for a the song Low that has all the tricky Illuminati symbolisms. Guys, check it out. It will blow your mind. I'm just saying. We've got the documents. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the documents. Secret Society stuff right here. But yeah, that song is amazing. And then you followed it right up. You got a new single. You have a single after that, I should say, a newer single called Moonlit. That song was also awesome. That video is great, too. Who did that video?
So funny story about that video. We were on tour at the time, and our label was like, hey, like, we want to do two more music videos, and they got to be done, like, by this time. And we were like, well, we're still on tour. So we had to take one of our days off after Vegas. And so we drove to my uncle's house. We built a coffin.
Whoa.
This will be out after. We built a coffin, and then we took the coffin back to LA, and then we picked up our generator and then drove from LA up to the desert up in California, and we filmed over it. And then immediately after finishing that one at like 3, 4 p.m.,
yeah,
we went over to
North Hollywood
to film Moonlit. So we filmed both music videos in the same day, which was insanity.
That must be the longest day maybe ever.
It wasn't that long. It was tiring.
It was tiring for sure. It was just a lot of driving, actually. Like a 3 or 4 hours of it was driving from the desert back. So
my biggest it was, beef with making a music video is always like, all right, guys, play back the sound, and then we'll have the speaker as close as we can to the singer so that way they can hear what they're singing. And then I'm like, well, can I get a speaker? They're like, sorry, we only have one. So you're just guessing, like, as a drummer, you're just back there guessing what you're hearing. And by the time that...
Oh, by the time 100%
like,
of the time.
Yeah, and you hit something and you're like, yeah, that came maybe completely off time. I don't know. Or you hear it reverberate back to you completely off time and you're like, yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was hard. I think for Over It, I think they were playing it over a PA and I was just guessing and playing really like lightly. And then for Moonlit, I think I actually had...
Well, those were single shots, so it was a lot easier.
Yeah, I was able to kind of play it in my headphones and be able to... Or my in-ear monitors, and I was able to kind of hit the parts correctly because we knew that like Moonlit was going to be a lot of still shots and a lot of kind of cool close-ups. So we wanted to make sure that things looked as legit as possible as far as like placement with your fingers and your hands and like what you're hitting and stuff like that. So,
but to answer your question, it was Cody Blue. That's who did the videos.
Yeah, he does great work.
He did the Moonlit and Over It.
Fantastic. And Over It is out now. So that's what we're going to get to. The third video in the trifecta, you guys have nailed it, and you don't even have the album out right now, so you guys are ahead of the curve, killing the game on the right side of history on that. So Over It, now you've got a coffin, and it's going to be crazy. I haven't seen it yet because I'm recording it before it's out, so you can tell me all about it.
We also got to give a shout out to Eli James of Ghost Circus because he...
Oh, yeah. He provided all of the clothing for those two music videos. Okay. So
if you want to look good, you got to hit up Eli James from Ghost Circus.
Yeah.
Get some legit shit.
He, no joke, I think in total...
Seb is joining us.
Hi.
Seb, how's it going, brother?
It's going. Yeah. Working my butt off.
Yeah. Well, your old pal Sean's here. We were just talking about the Illuminati.
Oh, man.
You're missing out on quite the conversation.
That's a whole podcast in itself, just you two guys talking about conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. You guys should do that.
Yeah, too. We should totally do that one day.
Rivals
I've
part two.
I've been reading up on some stuff. We have to have a conversation for sure.
I'm not going to talk about that. I changed my mind. Perfect. I want to talk to you about one of them. I'm an activist.
Okay.
But let's talk about Over It. Okay, so got a brand new video, and let's give the listeners opportunity to check it out. So what is Over It about before we go ahead and play the song?
Okay, so this is the best part. Over It is about an ex of mine. Or I don't know. We weren't really like actually ever like officially together. But it's pretty much a fuck you to him. And the best part is he knows it's about him, which I like. So like last week or the week before, he messaged me on Snapchat, because that's the only place I like don't have him on anything else. Messaged me on Snapchat and he goes, "So when's my song coming out?" Which I thought was great. And he apparently has told his parents that I wrote a song about him, but obviously probably kind of kept out the details of
why
the fuck you part.
Of why?
So when that goes gold, is he gonna expect like a percentage?
Dude, eat my nuts.
You heard it first, guys.
So random fact, that was the first time I've ever built a coffin in my life.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But
it's the first time I've ever laid in one.
You should be like, this is the first time I built a coffin.
I can honestly say I put someone in a coffin, so that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
Put him in a coffin.
Fun fact about Over It's music video. Seb is the mystery man. It's not so mystery anymore. Actually, if you watch like the first 10 seconds of the video, it's like Seb like all like covered in all black clothing, and like for a split second, if you watch, you can see Seb's eye.
Well, that too. Well, and you get half a second of my finger tattoos. Yeah.
So I guess if you put two and two together, you would probably have already figured it out that it's Seb. We didn't have anyone else. It was only us there. It was us and the guy, the film guy.
And they wanted someone tall, and I'm a Sasquatch, so
it worked out.
I did it.
Well, conspiracy theorists out there, we've cracked the Da Vinci Code. We know exactly who the guy is in the Over It video. It's Sebastian Chamberlain. Just
way to ruin it, guys. 33-degree Mason. What's up, guys?
What's up, guys? So let's not delay. Let's give the listeners a taste of Rivals and the brand new single, Over It, guys. This is Rivals with Over It.
You're another nail in my coffin.
Perfect. Nailed it, guys. That was Over It by Rivals. So, guy out there that this song is about, check it out. You got a song written all about you. So, there you go. That's a hot jam. I'm excited. I've may or may not have, spoiler alert, I have already pre-ordered Damn Soul, and I've got the milky clear with blue vinyl is what I chose. The Smart Punk exclusive. So there you go. Guys, for $18, you too can do the same. And just go to Smart Punk Shop and make it happen. You guys are stoked on this new record, it sounds like. But yeah, cool. Well, that song is awesome. You guys, so you guys got a tour coming up. Starts January 28th with Hail Sagan and the Scars Heal in Time.
Scars Heal in Time, yeah.
They do. That is a very true statement, yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm pretty excited, to be honest with you. The Scars Heal in Time, I always want to put a that in there. They're really dope. They're like two girls. They're sisters. I'm pretty sure they're sisters. And
I think so.
Yeah, and they're like younger, so I'm pretty excited to get to rock out to that every night.
That's awesome. Yeah, so what are the deets? Where can listeners find you when it comes to this tour that you got coming up here?
Base.
Illuminati. No, but we're for the tour, we'll be heading out to like Arizona, Mexico, Texas, Colorado.
Ooh, come and take it live.
Ooh, come and take it. That's a great one. Vegas, we're hitting L.A.,
Ooh, Black Sheep, really?
Yeah. Colorado Springs.
Black Sheep is one of my favorite venues.
Yeah, it's
really a really great venue.
That place is amazing. Yeah, for sure.
And you can find our record. That was a question, right? You asked the question.
You can find our record.
Yeah, I know where you can find the record. Smartpunkshop.com.
Come to one of the shows. We'll have vinyls and we'll have CDs. And but you can also Apple Music and Spotify.
And we're
Spotify.
We're interesting to watch too. We spin a lot. That's cool.
The choreography is on point, guys. I got to be honest with you.
We're like backup dancers for J-Lo. Like, it's
Does that make me J-Lo?
Yeah, me and Mickett were conversating one time, and he decided that me and Mickett are literally the backup dancers for Kayla. Kayla? I was going to say J-Lo and Kaylee at the same.
Kayla.
Kayla.
For Kayla.
If I ever decide to become a J-Lo impersonator, that's gonna be my name.
J-Lo. Yeah, so we're the backup dancers for K-Lo.
I literally can't think of a single J-Lo song right now.
Jenny from the Block.
Jenny from the Block. I keep thinking of Beyonce's
Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Love don't cost a
Sean, that's
thing.
Not fair. You're probably looking at a playlist.
Oh no!
It's California playlist.
J-Lo would not be on my Los Angeles playlist. She's she's too recent. Old man likes to have his '80s pop tunes. You know, maybe if it were the Bangles. Now the Bangles would be on it, but not J-Lo. So
Vitas,
is that like a food?
What, the Bangles?
What? Oh, bagels.
Oh yes, the Bagels. yes, my Beatles Eagles cover band, the Beagles. That's what. If someone hasn't started a Beatles Eagles cover band called the Beagles, I'm just saying, guys, go ahead and get to
10%.
It.
You need a bass player.
10%.
Just mention me when it comes to cutting the royalty checks. I will gladly cash that. Seb, while you're here, do you remember that time that I tried to throw a rock in your drink outside, but I accidentally threw the rock into your
smacked
eye?
Smacked me in the eye? Yeah, I remember that.
That was like, I felt horrible about it. We're like in Detroit and we're like just waiting around. And I don't know. I just had the great ideas. Like you had a little cup of water and you're just on your phone. I was like, dude, check this out. I'm going to throw this rock in Seb's drink. And your drink is like sitting next to you.
Yeah, and the whole place is too the ghetto when you need both eyes. You need eyes in the back of your head. Now you're giving me one eye look out of.
Cutting down your survival rate by 50%.
Looking be like a deer for the rest of the night.
But yeah, I I missed your the drink by your hand on the ground and hit you right in the eye instead.
Not to mention, like, it's not like I was going for a drink either. Like, it was down, like, at my waist. And so it wasn't even, like, kind of close.
I missed it was, like, by a good 3 feet.
Fuck his eye. Like, that was
the night that I tased Kevin.
Yes, that was the night that the taser came out.
Yeah, taser came out to play.
Taser gang.
Wait. Do you literally have a taser on you at all times?
No, I stopped bringing it.
Oh.
Because I started flying, so.
Hey, Sean, speaking of random moments, do you remember at one point during the tour, you were wearing a big black shirt, and I said, oh, it looked like you were wearing a dress, and we took a picture of you making, like, this really, like, feminine stance in this, like, shirt dress. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, big black shirt. That's like literally that's like my tour outfit, actually.
So the other day,
looks like a muumuu.
Other day I was on my phone looking through my pictures and I was like, what in the fuck? And it was just that picture. And I was like, I got to talk to Sean about this, man. We got to stop doing weird shit like this.
Yeah. You're going to have to send me that photo. And we'll just put it in the podcast notes for everybody to enjoy.
Deal.
But yeah, secretly my, I got so tired of investing in like doing laundry and stuff on tour. So, the big black shirt was a staple of mine because I would just go and get a couple packs of like Hanes plain t-shirts, pack a couple, pairs of jeans, like a pair of gym shorts, and then, buy a couple packs of underwear and socks. And then you're
good. Real quick. Do you remember when I was wearing that trash bag diaper at the laundry? Were you there?
I was not there for the laundry. I was stuck in Wyoming.
Oh yeah. Okay. Never mind. We won't tell that story.
We'll
then.
Tell
good.
The story while we're here.
Seb smelled so bad he had to like wash his pants because all of his clothes were super dirty. So he literally got naked and put a trash bag over.
I pushed my feet through the through
and
the trash
keep in
bag
mind,
and made it.
We're in Wichita at a fucking like a laundromat where there's like people everywhere just walking around.
So I'm shirtless with the trash bag diaper, not to mention smelling terrible, like terrible,
like Tommy Pickles.
Yeah, literally.
Dude, what you should have done, okay, pro tip in case this ever comes back. So you just like, you know, of course, shove your legs in, but then just shove armholes in and you can have like a full like onesie.
Oh, I didn't think
like
about
a potato
this,
sack
yeah.
person.
Yeah. It's like you're wearing a 1920s men's bathing suit. So it's like the tank top briefs combined. And if anybody asks, just be like, I'm a pro wrestler, obviously. This is my pro
Fair
wrestling
enough.
Gear.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we had some great times, guys. The Rivals and the Uh-Huh Baby Yaz.
Your slogan could be, I'm going to take out the trash.
They call me the trash man. I eat garbage.
I'm going to take you out.
Yes, exactly. So, guys, what are your goals for 2018, man? You guys, it's a fresh
$1 million.
Yeah. What a great goal. I mean, that's always the ultimate goal. Make some money.
We have some tours planned that we cannot mention, but we are excited for.
Very excited.
That we're really actually very, very stoked about. And then it looks like we're trying to do a full US, I think, after said tours, so summer will probably be hitting the East Coast.
Perfect. So we'll expect a date in Louisville, Kentucky, or Indianapolis, or Cincinnati, and the surrounding areas. Not only for me, but for a majority of the listeners listening to this podcast, surf in the cornfields in the Midwest. They're going to want to see Rivals.
Yeah,
can we cuddle?
You and I personally, of course, if we have time in between all the conspiracy theories we need to catch up on.
Oh man!
Wait, why can't you just cuddle and talk about conspiracy theories at the same time
while doing a podcast?
Ooh. I'll make you guys mac and cheese.
Perfect. I mean, it sounds like a nice little Saturday. Maybe we'll go to Bed Bath and Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time. So
we'll see.
We'll see. But here's the main question: have you guys found yourselves? A new reliable ride. The old one retired.
We retired old Betsy. Bob, that's what we named it, Bob. And we now have R2.
R2.
Actually, we have a 15 pass now. So,
and our trailer is called D2.
Oh, snap. Hey, I see what you did there.
We actually thought about taking like a trash can lid and like putting it on top of the van and like painting it to look like
R2-D2.
I'm so down for that. I'm just telling
it's
you.
A right. Great idea, it's right? A great idea, right? I fucking told you.
We actually had the idea of like painting the trailer to look like X-Wings, like, or no, fucking
TIE Fighters.
TIE Fighters to make it look like they're shooting at us.
Nice. Oh, I mean, I back it. Not financially, but I back it.
Hey, me and Josh are both artists. We got this.
Yeah,
we got this. Let me ask you this question. I meant just because as we are wrapping up here, I want to be able to get all my questions answered too. But how did you guys hook up with Smart Punk? How did that come about?
It was a friend of a friend who knew a friend of a friend who mentioned us, and they were like, holy shit, they're great. And then
they threw papers in our face.
Yeah, and they're like, sign this. And we're like, ah.
Perfect.
And then they gave us money, and we were like, ah! And then the money was gone because we bought a van. And then we were like, ah!
Well, listeners out there, if you want to accomplish your dream too, all you have to do is know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. that has some papers. Those papers will be thrown right in your face, and the next thing you know, you've got a van and a record deal.
Whatever you do, don't read anything.
Yeah, don't read it. Just sign it.
Whatever you do, don't get a lawyer involved. We don't need to bring, you know.
Let's stop with that juju.
That's just over exaggerated. Yeah, it's all the hype, dude.
Yeah, don't bring the big wigs into this. Jeez.
We only have a yellow. No, we only have a white crayon to sign the contract. But we'll do it.
Perfect. And then just in closing, okay, I got to ask you guys this. What did you think of the new Star Wars movie?
Oh, I knew you were.
It was great.
I loved it. There was definitely some things that, like, make it. We actually just talked about this prior to this conversation. Somebody asked us this exact same question. I thought Layla?
Laylo.
Oh, God. That's my niece's name. Sorry, that was hilarious. Princess Leia. Flying through the air was a little weird.
Agreed.
Spoilers, guys.
Oh, you haven't watched it?
He's asking us what he thought.
Don't worry.
Wait.
I've already done a full Star Wars review for the podcast, so any of my listeners, there's no spoilers here because you've already heard my thoughts on it, but... Sorry, go ahead.
Just real quick, a little cool thing that I found out and had gave me much more respect for Kylo is...
He has big titties?
The reason why his blade sounds the way it does is because it was made, one, by himself, and two, the reason why it comes out on the sides, too, is because he built it himself, and it was too powerful, so it had to have... way Ports? To take the energy out.
Like an exhaust
valve. So that's
valve.
Why it comes out on the sides. So I was like, holy shit, that guy's that smart to build that powerful of a blade. Respect.
Respect. Yeah, so it's...
He also has big titties.
Like I said, it has to have an exhaust
and
valve
also
or something.
His stance, when he brings out his lightsaber, just blows my mind. That big stomp. I'm like, what a badass!
I'm gonna be honest, in the first movie, I like fucking hated him. And then this movie, I was like oddly turned on. I don't know why it flipped.
Maybe it was the big scar. Chicks dig scars.
Maybe. There's just something about him that just, I was like, yes, dad.
Sean.
Mick, what'd you think?
I'm not sure if your listeners know, but like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
That's why,
like,
I'm asking you the question. Yeah, listeners, Mick loves Star Wars. And so I had to know. I had to know what your thoughts are on the new one.
Yeah, 90% of my life is Star Wars. So like... There were good things. There were bad things. There were things that I wanted to see, and there's things that I could live this out. Obviously, you know, like Leia flying through space. It was a little cheesy. I understand what they did there. It was a little cheesy, but watching Kylo Ren and Rey fight back to back was the moment in the theater.
Yes.
When legitimately every single person, because I went opening night, every single person held their breath, and I know, just through the Force, they all thought, oh shit.
That was honestly a really badass scene.
I was a little nervous because he was like teetering on both sides of like good and bad, and I was like, she's gonna end up with a fucking like lightsaber through her skull just from like him like just like double turning. But obviously that didn't happen.
But guys, can we talk about the real elephant in the room? Chewbacca went vegetarian because of that stupid porg.
Yeah, he did.
I'm down with it. You know, I thought porgs were going to be annoying. Actually, turned out not to be so annoying. I was, you know, Of all the things that I hated about the new one, that was not one of them.
Yeah. Remember when we saw those and we were like, what the fuck is this? We were at, cause we tend to walk the toy section cause we're weirdos, at Target, but we also really like Target. So,
although I will admit, when Chewbacca was holding the cooked pork, I was still kind of down to eat it.
Yeah.
You know what? Even in the face
it's already dead.
Of a porg. Yeah. I mean, the damage is already done here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't go back. Like, but realistically, like, you and I could have at least 5 podcasts based on Star Wars. So let's not get too in depth here.
Yeah, we won't. And honestly, just in my thing about it, I liked it. I didn't love it as much as everyone said that loved it. And I did not hate it as much as everyone on the internet hated it. Like, I was like, yeah, it's good. And I applaud them for doing something completely different. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be like a rehash of like Empire or something. That's going to be super lame.
That's exactly where I thought it was going to go. Yeah.
They did something different. So I applaud them for that. Like, now, personally, this movie had probably my least favorite Star Wars moment ever. And that's when he fucking milked that alien and got the blue milk. I hated that.
Hated that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So gross.
Star Trek number one.
Yeah. I hated
Untastracked blue milk was not what we wanted.
Yeah. I hated the beginning when they're like, I'll hold for the commander. And he's like, I'm the commander. And he's like, I'm still holding for the commander. I hated that. I was like, this is dumb. Put that in a Thor movie and sell it to kids, but don't put it in Star Wars, please.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was very Disney. Wait, yeah. When
Poe was holding for the guy that he was making fun of him. He's waiting for the general to come in, and the general's like, I'm right here. Can't you hear me? And Poe's like, I'm still waiting.
But Sean, I will admit, towards the end,
I liked the planet.
I liked it too.
We found out that Luke was never even on the planet.
Yes.
Was such a just a force kicker for me. And I was like, you did it.
Dude, I loved it. The scene, I mean, honestly, guys, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen fucking Star Wars, for one, what are you waiting for? And for two, it's been out for 6 weeks. And then for three, whatever, I don't care. But the scene with Luke Skywalker, and he's floating above the rock, and there's like the double sun setting, and this cape is flying back. I'm like, dude, this is my favorite moment, I think, of any Star Wars. So this is kind of a polarizing movie for me, because it had my new least favorite scene, and it had like possibly my favorite scene out of the entire franchise in it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So yeah, my original least favorite scene was the part where they try to eat that fucking space apple in episode 2, and then he was like, oh, I love you, and it hurts so bad, and I'm like, that's bullshit, I hate that part. So yeah.
Star Trek number one.
Yes, exactly. But who doesn't love BB-8? BB-8, now that's the star of the show. That's the star of the trilogy right there, guys. He can do no wrong. So, but now
I know this girl who was considering getting one whole butt cheek as a BB-8, and I actually influenced this. I was like, yeah, you should do that. That's normally I'd be like, these are all bad choices, but that right there is a good choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm going to back that 100%. Now, that is something I can financially back, okay? If someone wants to transform their body into a BB-8, sure, I'll see what I can do. But yeah, well, guys, as we're winding down here, now that we have all the hard pressing questions out of the way, and we've talked all about the new album that's coming out again, February 2nd, Damsel Rivals. It's on Smart Punk, and you can pre-order it now, and you can pick it up very soon. You know, anywhere that you pick up your albums and CDs, music videos are out, so check those out on YouTube. There will be links in the show notes, in the podcast description there, that will take you to every single place we've discussed. So easy, convenient for you. But yeah, guys, where can people find you online? Where can people check out your stuff and your music and all that good sort of thing?
Yeah, all of our tags are wearevls.com. Check us out. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, RVLS. Now
we have a website.
Yeah, we have a website. wearevls.com.
You can pick up our merch there, and then our pre-orders for actual record, which are exclusive designs that won't be printed again, are on smartpunkshop.com. And then anywhere you normally get your music, iTunes, Spotify,
YouTube,
Apple Music, YouTube. It will be up on the tube.
Space.
Space.
The cloud.
The The World Wide Web.
The Force.
Mars.
America
the
Online.
The Pentagon. Not the one on, not the lame one on Earth.
The Jazz Club. Mars.
Yes. The pyramids, not the lame ones in Egypt. We're talking about the ones on Antarctica.
Yes!
So, yeah. But, yeah, and also, too, guys, there are now vowels in the word rivals.
Yeah, we've...
I told you I'd fit that in there somewhere. But they're now vowels.
We decided to sneak them back in. We started as rivals, went to RVLS, which is still rivals. It's just rivals without the vowels.
Too hipster.
We decided to put them back in.
We are rivals with vowels. RIVALS.
SS.
But our tags, and we are RVLS.
SS.
With an underline, a heart around it, and an exclamation.
And then 36 numbers in the sequence of 1, 7, 3, 4.
33. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Perfect.
But yeah.
Well, there you go, guys. Listening, you'll have all of those links handy dandy right there in the podcast description. And if you like what you hear from me, you can always like, share, and subscribe across Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, that's, I'm sure I've been talking about it, but podcasts on Spotify too. So talk about convenient. You can check out the Sean versus Wild playlist that Rivals will now be on. You can check out the podcast there, and then you might be able to check out my Los Angeles playlist so you can hear what I like to listen to when I'm in the sunny state of California. So guys,
it's 2 hours of being Rickrolled.
Yes, basically. And if you like, if you like, never. And then
we gotta somehow do a podcast with the conspiracy, Sean. So
yes,
one day.
So listeners, be prepared for that one as well. In the future, we'll have a significant date, and
yes,
magic will happen there. Chaos magic.
Are you ready
will
to conspiracize?
Exactly. So, guys, Kaylee, Sebastian, Mickett, and Josh, thank you so much for joining me today. Anything you want to say to the listeners out there before we go ahead and ride off into the distance?
We love you, and thank you so much for all the support you give for us. It's much appreciated.
And keep going.
Keep going, going.
That's great advice. Keep going.
Mickett,
give advice to the listeners. He's out of here. He's he's peaced out. He's
like, they pretty much said everything I want to say.
We love you and keep going.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, keep pushing on.
And,
keeping on.
And I love you too. And guys, keep going. And thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, guys, I know that it is late where I come from, but it's optimum party time where you are on the West Coast. And thanks for coming together, man. I was worried for a second that I wasn't. Fuck this. Hold on. Let me start over. This is dumb.